Well, good morning, Mosaic. My name is Phil. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to be jumping into the Word a little bit with you today. But before we do that, I want to just take a minute and give you a quick update on how things went on Christmas Eve. If you were here, then you know that we did a special offering, as we do each year for Christmas Eve, for something that is a local need. And we just kind of bring that before you guys and say, hey, if you want to jump in, you can. And a number of you did, and I want to just give you a quick update on that. On Christmas Eve, all of you collectively contributed just under $42,000 to that need. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So we partnered with a local church here that is doing some unique things in some of the more challenged areas of Orlando, and we're excited to be able to come alongside of them and kind of lift them up in the ministry that God's called them into through the resources that God's called together here at Mosaic. So that's pretty cool to be able to do that. You guys are a generous bunch, and it's exciting to see what we get to do together. And our leadership loves discovering these needs and then bringing them to you when it's appropriate. So that's pretty awesome to be able to do that together. Some of you have been asking about when we're going to be giving kind of a good update on all the numbers related to the Every Moment initiative and that whole thing that we did in October and the giving and the first give weekend and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be doing that next weekend as a part of what we'll call Celebration Weekend. And we'll kind of get into the numbers there. And so you can hear all of that next week as Pastor Renaud jumps into kind of a vision for 2020 that brings together some of what we want to do in every moment with some of who we want to be as a church in 2020 and beyond. So we're excited for that. You're not going to want to miss next weekend as Pastor Renaud dives into that in a big way. It's going to be a great, great time. Now, this is the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's, which is kind of like this odd no man's land, right? You're like in between the craziness and the lead up to Christmas Day is kind of over. But a lot of people have not really returned to like normal life. You know, some of you may have even had the whole week off of work. I don't know. No one really expects things to pick up fully until like January 2nd. Or maybe your life is totally opposite. I don't know. Maybe you've got like five people still crashing at your house and they're sleeping on your couch and they're sitting in your favorite chair in the living room and Cousin Eddie is like taking way too long showers and stealing all the hot water. Who knows? But here we are. We come together on this Sunday in between. We join together for this Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's. And it's a great time to do something a little bit different. Our Advent series is over. We're not quite ready to jump back into Ephesians yet. And so we had this idea that instead of doing a typical sermon, we'd use this time to really create a different kind of experience that would sort of help you set the tone, for the next year in your life. It's kind of a soul care thing, kind of a planning thing. We're going to read some scripture together. We're going to give you time to pray. We're going to give you some space to ask some really intentional questions that perhaps only you need to hear the answers to for now. It's going to be great. It's going to be different, but it's going to be great. Here's how I want you to see today. I want you to imagine that you've got just a crazy, crazy day, work day during the week. You're just packed hour by hour. You're booked up full all day long, and you're dying for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, you get an email. The 2 p.m. meeting's been canceled. And you're like, thank God, right? I've got an hour back in my day that I didn't plan on having. And suddenly it's like this amazing gift of time. Or maybe you had dinner plans with some good friends or family members and you want to see them, you really do, but it's been a crazy week and you kind of just want to go home and like get into bed, right? And then you get the text, hey, one of the kids has the flu. We're going to have to cancel dinner tonight. And you're like, praise Jesus, right? And you put on your pajamas and you get into bed and you relax and you're like, thank God for this little gift of time that I didn't expect to have. That's kind of how I hope you'll be able to see today by the time we finish. We're going to read some scripture. We'll give you time to pray. We'll do all of that. And in the end, hopefully it will be a space that allows you to really look ahead to 2020 and think differently about the year. Now, soul care is something that we talk a lot about around here at Mosaic. But if I'm being truthful with you, I would say that it's not something that comes naturally to me. They call me the executive pastor here, which kind of sounds very corporate-y and formal-like, right? An executive pastor talking about soul care is kind of like a worship pastor writing love songs about Excel spreadsheets. Like, it's just not done, right? It's not something you expect. And so, you know, ask me to, like, manage a project or build a strategy, I'm good. Ask me to dream on a new ministry idea, I'm in the zone. Ask me how I feel, that's about how it sounds right there, right? There's not a whole lot. Because I don't know how I feel in that moment. It's just not how God wired me. There's pluses and minuses to personality types, right? That doesn't come easily to me. I'm aware of it. That's the important thing. And so I've had to work hard at learning how to use soul care type tools. Now, I share that because I know that while some of you are excited that we're doing something different today, where you get to ask some questions and of yourself, you're excited about that. Others are like freaking out right now and wondering if you can slip out quietly during a prayer and just get another cup of coffee and, you know, kind of call that church. So I get it. I promise I'll go easy on you. And maybe along the way, you'll learn some new tools for your journey with Jesus. Soul care is not self-help. It's actually some of the best stewardship of our lives that we can do. The problem is that so often we don't actually live our lives with much of a plan regarding our soul care. The writer Annie Dillard says that how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And so what often happens to us is that we keep on doing stuff that we don't really want to do, or we live in patterns or rhythms that kill us on a daily basis because we don't take the time to plan to do it any differently. And so oftentimes just a little bit of quiet before God can be the start to living our lives and caring for our souls in a more intentional way. Sometimes it's really helpful to have one theme or even one word that you're pursuing in your soul care planning. And so as I prepared for today, God kept bringing the word expectancy before me. It felt like I just kept hearing it, and every time I heard it, it seemed like there was a yellow highlighter that just kind of like marked it up in bright yellow. And as I began to think about this day and how for so many of us, as we get to the end of the year, we begin to look to the next year with a certain sense of expectancy. Sometimes the expectancy is really focused on something. You're adopting a child, you're moving into a new home, you're finishing a degree, you're hitting a major milestone in your marriage and you've planned a big vacation to celebrate it. Or maybe 2019 has been a really, really hard year and you're just excited to put it behind you and move on to the new year, hoping expectantly that it'll be better than the last year. Isaiah 26:8 says, "Indeed, in the path of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited expectantly for you. Your name, even your memory, is the desire and deep longing of our souls." I think as we look ahead to a new year, it's really easy to be focused on the things that we'll do or accomplish, the trips we'll take, the bathroom remodel, the job promotion. But how many of us can honestly say as we look to the new year, "Lord, we are waiting expectantly for you"? How many of us can say your name, even your memory, is the deep longing of our souls? And there are a lot of good reasons for that. But here's the thing. I know that in the quiet moments of your heart and soul, you do have longings. You do have hopes and dreams. They're there, oftentimes, just below the surface, just kind of under there. And so today I want to guide you through a process of discovery and give you a tool that you can carry with you into 2020. Here's how our time's going to go. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to give you times of silence to answer those questions. This will feel different than a normal sermon time. Let's just embrace that together, okay? And in order to do that well, let's just take a minute and quiet our hearts before God and open up this soul care experience with prayer. And when we come out of this prayer, I want to ask you to be ready to see what God has for you today, and don't try to define that for him. Just be open with this gift of a window of time. Go ahead and close your eyes and quiet your heart. Father God, as we step into this time today, guide our hearts and minds. Give us the focus we need to think about how your plans become our plans. Give us insight into the various categories of our life. God, will you slow our hearts down a bit this morning? Will you clear away things a bit so we can hear you? Even as we slow our breathing down a bit, God, will you allow us to lean on your breath? God, we are ready for your guidance towards our expectant hope. In Jesus' name, the power of the Spirit. Amen. You know, so often we don't hear God speak in our lives because we don't have any silent moments in our lives. Sometimes we don't even give God a chance to speak. What I want to do now is read a collection of verses and just let Scripture wash over us for a bit. And after each verse is read, I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to quiet your heart and think about what you just heard. The Bible is called the Word of God. When we read Scripture, we are hearing the heart and voice of God. So anytime you're trying to hear God's direction in your life, get your nose into the Bible. That should always be our starting point. And so I'll read these verses and give you a chance to listen in silence after each one. And if one of these verses jumps out at you more than others, make a mental note of that. It will probably help you if you just close your eyes and let these verses kind of wash over you as an extended prayer. And have this thought in the back of your mind: what should I be hoping for expectantly in 2020? Let's go ahead and close our eyes here as we hear this. Psalm 25 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." Second Timothy 3 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Isaiah 55 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Proverbs 16 says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Isaiah 30 says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who long for him." Micah 7 reads, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." John 6 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And finally, we come back to Isaiah 26, which says, indeed, in the path of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited expectantly for you. Your name, even your memory, is the desire and deep longing of our souls. I'm going to give you a minute now in silence. Just take some time to reflect on these. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that scripture can guide our hearts and actions and the choices we make with our lives. God, I pray that we would see your word as truth worth submitting to again and again, and even more so in 2020. Amen. So what are you hoping expectantly for in 2020? Has your soul been quieted enough to think about it? You might have noticed the card in the seat pocket in front of you or underneath you if you're in a front row. You might have taken a peek at it, and that's fine. We'll take it out now, and you should find a pen also in the chair. There are a lot of questions there, but I don't want you to get overwhelmed. We're going to go by color grouping, so one color at a time. And now that we've prepared our hearts a bit in prayer and by soaking in scripture for a bit, I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes, not just yet, but in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to take some time to answer the questions in blue. But first, let me just explain this a little bit. Now, these are really just categories to think through in life. So the first question is, in the following categories, what are you hoping for in 2020? Now, understand, they all overlap, right? Like your walk with Christ impacts your family, your work impacts your health. They all touch each other. And so the categories are just there to guide our thoughts a bit. So let's take a look at these categories, and then I'm going to give you some time, some good time to fill this out. Walk with Christ. While we should be careful not to put our faith in a box apart from everything else, there are things that are specific to our faith journey, our walk with Jesus, that need attention. So I want you to think ahead 1 year. Imagine you're sitting in church 1 year from now. What do you hope your faith journey would look like a year from now? What does it look like on a daily, weekly basis a year from now? Where are you waiting expectantly for God to show up? And maybe you secretly wonder if he's forgotten about you. Think ahead 1 year. What do you hope for in your walk with Christ? Next category, marriage, singleness, family. If you're married, are there things you're praying for in 2020 to grow, change, improve, deepen? If you're single, what are you hoping for in your singleness this next year? The answer isn't always a spouse. With your family, what are you hoping for? Again, try to think through, what does it look like 1 year from now? What's that hope you have? Relationships. These are our friendships, our roommates, our closer coworkers, extended family, people in your missional community group or Bible study. What are you hoping for in 2020? Do you just wish you had one good friend? Are all your relationships an inch deep? Do you have too many friends and you know you've got to simplify and that's going to be hard? What are you expectantly hoping for? Health. Physical, mental, emotional. Are you out of shape? Are you struggling with chronic pain? Have major health issues going on? Is food an idol for you? Is exercise an idol for you? Are you in deep despair? Do you know you need help in processing the things of your heart and soul? Again, imagine that you're sitting in church 1 year from now. What do you hope your health would look like then? Finances. Are your finances a mess? Are you worried about retirement in a few years? Do you have more money than you expected to have at this point in your life, and you're wondering how to steward that well and not get caught up in it? What are you hoping expectantly for in 2020 with regard to your finances? Work. Is your job sucking the life out of you every day? Is your career on fire and you can't keep up with it? Do you love your job but you realize the schedule is killing your family? Are you stuck and you don't know how to move forward? Do you have a boss that you don't know how to deal with? Are you a business owner and you feel like you could work 24 hours a day and never run out of stuff to do? Do you have a crazy business idea that's just, you don't even know where to start with it? Talk to God about these things. Write down your dreams for 2020. Be expectant. And I put another category there because I don't know what God's speaking to you today, and I want to give you space for that. I'm going to give you several minutes to fill this out. Do the best you can with the time I give you. This is just a start, really. See these few minutes of silence, this time to be quiet with God as a gift before Him. Resist the temptation to run because you're uncomfortable. Really ask God what belongs on your card. What are you hoping for? Take a few minutes in this. Father God, we thank you for these few minutes we found to think about our expectant hopes for 2020. Thank you for this direction you've given us. I pray that this sort of hoping and dreaming is just a start. In your name, and through the power of the Spirit, amen. Well, that wasn't too bad, right? Some of you struggled with a few minutes of silence just then. Your brain was all over the place. Some of you honestly can't remember the last time you sat like that for several minutes and thought like that. Maybe it's because your life is crazy. Maybe it's because that's just not how you're wired. But it's good to stretch ourselves. If you struggled with it, I really want to encourage you to ask yourself why you struggled with it. What caused that? And how can you begin to address that in 2020? And maybe begin to work on those particular muscles in your heart and soul. Now, the reality is that as you look at this list, there are things that are more important than other things. They may be more important because they're more urgent. They may be more important because they tie so closely to someone else's life that it feels like it has to come first. There may be a category on this list that is festering like an infected wound, and it's gotten worse and worse, and you know you can't put it off anymore. So I want to ask you to take another minute and pray and ask God to show you which of these categories needs to be the most important for you in 2020, and then circle that one. That's the big one to really focus on first in 2020. You see, it can be overwhelming to look at this list and think, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, how do I even get into this? It can be paralyzing for some. By circling just one area to start with, it takes the pressure off. And so I'm going to give you a minute to do that, and then I'll call us back together with prayer. Father God, you know how finite our time is. A list like this can be overwhelming. Guide us. Guide our priorities in 2020. We are expectantly hoping for so much, but we have to start somewhere. Guide us in that. Amen. Okay, now as you filled that out and then you circled the highest priority, you hopefully got to do a little bit in each category. But you know, for many here, as you wrote things down in these various categories, there was something lurking in your heart that is so raw, so painful, so scary, so unlikely to happen that you didn't even bother to hope for it. You didn't even bother to write it down. It's almost like that old sports injury that acts up every now and then, and you know, the pain kind of comes back and fades in and out of the background and you're aware of it, but not really. What is that thing that is so crazy or so scary or so unlikely to happen that you didn't even bother to write it down in the lists above? A marriage that feels too far gone. An addiction whose roots are so deep, you don't even know where to begin. A child whose waywardness confounds you and breaks your heart on a daily basis. I want to encourage you to write that down. On the back side of the card, the green question just says, didn't even bother. You're going to fill that out next. Now, writing it down it's not like a magic incantation, you know, or get what you want. But Scripture does say we can bring our prayers and petitions to God, doesn't He? Right? Doesn't God tell us that? So I want to give you a couple more minutes to ask the Holy Spirit, what else? What should I have written down, but I didn't even bother? Take a minute for that. Father God, the Psalms tell us to teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. God, there are times when we carry burdens that are so heavy, we start to lose hope that anything will change. Sometimes the wounds are so deep, we don't even realize they're there anymore. Sometimes the dreams are so big we can't even imagine them coming true. God, we want to submit all of this to you, even the stuff we didn't even bother to write down at first. We want to give it to you, God, and I pray that after doing that, we would find a way to trust you with it. I pray that your spirit would guide us to accept your good and perfect will for how it all works out. We know you hear the prayers of your children. Thank you for that. In your name, amen. Well, you are beginning to get quite a list of things you are waiting expectantly for in 2020, but I want to shift gears here now, and you can actually put your cards away for just a little bit so we're not distracted by them. I want to shift gears here now and talk about what might be holding us back from experiencing these things. There are things in our lives that can hold us back from experiencing all that God has for us. Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes they happen to us. But for now, I want to focus in on some of the things that we can actually do something about. And in order to talk about that, I'm going to have some people come out and help me out here. Show us some of the ways that we can become our own worst enemies when it comes to expectantly hoping for things. This is Deb. Thank you, Deb. We're doing props today. There we go. Why not? Sure, you can give Deb a clap. So Deb has a lot in her hands, right? She's got stuff on her back. She's got bags. She's carrying an umbrella because it was raining this morning. She's loaded up. And so many of us live like this every day, right? We can't receive anything new from God because our arms are so full. We're so weighted down, carrying around so much. Sometimes those things are the actual stuff of our life, right? Like the actual mass that we've collected in our homes and apartments that we carry around with us, and it becomes like a part-time job to manage all of our junk, right? Sometimes it's things in our heart and soul. It's bitterness that we hold on to. It's unforgiveness that we hold on to that becomes like this weight that we carry around, and it affects every relationship and the lenses that we see the world through. Sometimes it's a past hurt that we're just seemingly unwilling to submit to God. There's a lot of things that we can carry around. Sometimes the things that we carry around are actually good things, right? So sometimes there are things that we want. You may have written down on your card that you're expectantly hoping to get connected to community in 2020. But the reality is you volunteer in 70 places at your kids' school and at church and in your neighborhood and at the park nearby and whatever else. And you got to give something up in order to be in community and find the time for that. Or you may have said, I really want to get into scripture more in 2020. But the reality is you keep signing up for one more course in your degree program when you know three courses would have been enough, but you sign up for the fourth anyway. And then you say, well, I guess I'll get to scripture next semester. And so sometimes we have to even give up good things in order to step into another good thing that creates a better balance in our lives. What would it look like for us to get rid of some of this stuff in this next year? What would that mean in your life? It takes a special kind of courage. What could you receive from God if you got rid of some of the baggage? What would it take to lighten the load? Trust? Forgiveness? Counseling? Confession? This might be you. Thanks, Deb. Let's get our next person out here. Hello, Tim. Tim is holding a giant mirror, and he is intently gazing in upon himself. And he's just really focused on himself. And you know what he can't see? He can't see anything, let alone God, because he's so focused in on himself. And sometimes we live like this. I'm not talking about a healthy amount of being aware of who you are. That's good. It's good to understand your personality and all of that, strengths and weaknesses. But there can be times when we're so focused on us, our own little world, that we can't even see what God might be trying to do in our lives. We couldn't possibly receive whatever we're expectantly hoping for. We'd miss it. This might be you. Thanks, Tim. We're going to bring Deb back out. Come on, Deb. Here we go. Now, Deb has giant headphones on, and she's on her phone, probably searching Facebook or something. I don't know. Instagram. I could probably say that this represents every single one of us, right? At times, right? We all tend to do this at times. We are so enamored with this little rectangle that we carry around with us, and the noises that we put into our head all day long, the distractions that we have. You know, I truly believe that God wants to speak to us. I truly believe that the Spirit of God wants to guide us through our journey. So often we cannot even hear him because we are so fixated on this here. And I wonder what we're missing when we live like this. It is so dangerous to our hearts and souls. And our culture wants us to live this way. Our culture begs us to live this way. We couldn't possibly imagine living any other way. We're so worried that we won't be up on the latest show on whatever, right? It's not enough to have Netflix. You've got to have Amazon Prime and Hulu and Disney Plus and now Apple Plus TV, whatever it is, and whatever else they come up with. I recently had our family get Disney Plus, and so I canceled Netflix. You would think when I told my kids that I was canceling Netflix for a season that I had told them we weren't buying groceries. Like, it's just, we don't need it all, right? There's not enough hours in the day. It's not necessary. And so we get so distracted with all of this. And here's the thing. We actually really like our distractions, right? I mean, let's be honest. We like them. We would rather say that we don't have a whole lot of time for whatever it is we don't have time for, scripture, prayer, community, whatever it might be. We would rather say we don't have time for these things than admit the fact that what we're really doing is choosing dozens of hours of entertainment over 15 minutes with our God. Can we just be honest about that? Do we want to keep living that way this next year? Is it healthy for us long term? I don't think it is. We prefer the distractions. This might be you. Probably is all of us. Thanks, Deb. You can go.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Last one. Tim is back. No props this time. Tim just has his arms crossed in defiance. I dare you, God, to show me anything. There's a lot of pain that gets you to a place like this. There's a lot of pain that you have to endure to get to a place where you're ready to say, I don't want to hear anything from you, God. I'm unwilling. There's a lot of hurt. There's an aspect of defiance here that says, I can't hear. I'm unwilling to hear. And that defiance is like a hard shell that has to break before we can actually hear God speak in our lives many times. And some of you, because of things that have happened in your life, maybe even choices you've made, have gotten to this place. You might walk around with a good Christian smile, but this is the posture of your heart just below that shell. This might be you. Thanks, Tim. All of us probably have something that is creating a bit of a block on fully hearing God in our lives. We probably all have things we need to give up in order to move forward in 2020. We can't wait expectantly when any of those four examples are our posture towards God and what he has for us. So now I want you to take some time, pull your card back out again, and you're going to answer the questions in red about what is blocking you and what you need to give up in 2020. Take a few minutes and answer those questions in red, and then I'll bring us back with prayer. Father God, each of us in this room have things that are blocking us, things we need to let go of as we approach 2020. Will you give us the courage to move beyond writing it down on a page and to actually begin to move in those areas in 2020? We need your guidance, God. We want to long for you, but the world around us is so shiny and distracting. Give us eyes for you, God. Give us ears for your voice. We pray this in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, now as you've done all of this today, my hope is that you'll be able to carry this card into the new year and be able to refer to it. So I want to give you two more questions to fill out on the back of your card. The first is there a verse that comes to mind to frame your expectant hope for the coming year? Ask God to give you a verse to frame your expectancy. Maybe you've got just a fraction of a verse in your brain. Just Google it. You'll probably find the whole thing that way. The last question is, write out your own short breath prayer for the year. The idea behind a breath prayer is just that it's this short little prayer that you find yourself praying over and over again to kind of frame your posture towards God. It's almost like breathing. You pray it again and again to remain focused on something that's super important. in that season. 1 year, my breath prayer was just this: more of you, less of me, based on John 3. 1 year, it was your glory. 1 year, it was, this is your story, God. It only has to make sense to you. It's not for anyone else. It's just for you to be able to pray again and again. But it should frame what you're expectantly hoping for in 2020. I'm going to give you a few minutes now to do these last two questions, and then I'll bring us back together with prayer. Father God, your word is a light guiding our steps. I pray that in 2020, that would be more true than ever before. Allow the prayers of our hearts to roll out of our mouth as naturally as breathing. Amen. Amen. All right. We did it. There you go. You can give yourself a clap. We kind of practiced solitude with a room full of people. Not really, but it's a start. It's the closest you're going to get in a big room. Now, for some of you, that kind of practice is pretty normal. Planning out hopes and dreams and goals, that's something you do all the time. But for others, you may have only done this in a work context if your boss made you do it, or maybe you've never done that. If you found this helpful, but you feel like maybe you just kind of scratched the surface and getting started in this, I want to encourage you to find some more time for this kind of thing. Maybe you take that card you have today and just spend more time with it at home. If you want to go deeper than that, there's a great tool that gets published about this time every year on a website that we're real familiar with here called pottersin.com. It's run by our friends Steve and Gwen Smith. Steve's been here preaching before. Pottersin.com posts a thing every year called the annual examine, and it kind of goes a lot deeper into a lot of these areas and looks ahead, and you can check that out on their website, and we'll also post a link to it on our social media a little bit later today. Just start somewhere with whatever time you can find. Start somewhere. You may look back on this card a year from now and see it as the beginning of a new season in your life. That's why we put the date on the front, so you could pull it out a year from now, 3 years from now, and look back and go, oh my gosh, yes, I was praying for those things then, and a lot of that stuff began to be realized over time. If you're in community with other Christ followers, you'll want to show this to some of them at some point. In fact, maybe your MC, your missional community group, could discuss your cards together one night in January. You know, on our own, we can dream up some pretty crazy stuff that sometimes even goes against God's word. But when we're with other Christ followers and they're looking in on our hopes and dreams, they can help steer us back to Jesus if we get a little off base and our hopes and dreams don't quite line up with God's best for us. One last thing as I finish up here. You know, I'm kind of a compulsive planner. Just confession, safe space. I can get ahead with my plans sometimes. I can get ahead of God with my plans sometimes. And so I've made it a habit, anytime I do this kind of thing, to write a verse along the top of the page or in the file on my computer. And the verse comes from James chapter 4. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." And so any plans we make, and we should make plans, they should be submitted to God. He owns our days and hours and minutes. And so make plans. Just hold them really loosely. I want to close by reading from this great book called Soul Custody. It's by Stephen Smith, who I mentioned the website a minute ago. And I want to read this as kind of a closing prayer. And so I'll ask you to close your eyes and just kind of go with me on this as we finish our time. Let this be our final prayer at the end of our time here. Just quiet your hearts before God. Is your life filled with noise, activity, and confusion? Has it been a long time since your spirit was refreshed with stillness and solitude? You need soul solace. Is your life complicated, distracting? Are your activities, relationships, and possessions keeping you from God? You need soul focus. Are you stressed out, worried, harried? Is everyday life weighing you down and flustering you? You need soul serenity. Do your days, weeks, and months seem as endless and futile as a hamster's running on its wheel? Do deadlines and responsibilities always beckon you to do more? Can you not seem to catch a break? You need soul Sabbath. Are others trying to make you into the image of the person they want you to be? Do you try to hide or forget the real you to the point that you aren't even sure who your true self is anymore? You need soul identity. Is your work life one of the causes of the soul violence in your life? Is what you are doing for a living far different from the work you have dreamed of to make your life fulfilled? You need soul vocation. Can you tell that a poor health or a lack of physical fitness is having a negative effect on your soul? Is your attitude toward your body one of neglect and disappointment? You need soul address. Are you lonely? Do you wish you had others to accompany you on your journey through life, just as you would like to accompany them? You need soul companions. Father God, this little window of time that we've had today is a gift. God, I pray that it would be a catalyst in our own soul care and soul care planning for 2020. God, I pray that we wouldn't roll into next year haphazardly, expecting everything to be better and doing nothing to work with you and thinking that through and how things do look differently. God, I pray that our hopes and dreams would align with your hopes and dreams for us. Don't let us get ahead of you, God, but don't let us get behind you either. We want to be in step with you, God. So we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.